Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I mean, this is a sport that's on the precipice of irrelevance.
The games are taking over 3.5 hours. Playoff games are taking over 4 hours.
Game's too long, too slow. Who cares?
This is a situation where baseball's in trouble to begin with.
The MLB is officially dead.
Baseball is dead.
Rest in peace?
There's some good things happening for all three of us. The Braves, bunch of walk-offs happening. Dallas, Shohei Ohtani is putting on a display. So before I get into my thing, because, you know, I mean, I don't want to say I called it, but shit. I mean, I did. People didn't want to believe me about the Cleveland Guardians. But anyways, Shohei Ohtani, do you think that there are still old folks being like, God damn it, this fucking Shohei Ohtani. Babe Ruth, you kidding me? Babe Ruth was way better than Shohei. Do you think that those people still exist?
They sure do.
Really?
They sure do.
But is it because Shohei's on the West Coast and they're not actually watching him?
Yes, that has a lot to do with it. But
yeah,
because
they watched all Babe Ruth's games.
But Joe, their relatives did. So by proxy. Right. Yeah. They've heard stories from people who may have been alive and may have watched those games. So they feel like they were at those games. But if you're on the West Coast, yeah, it just doesn't matter. You don't even get those stories. Right. But Ohtani, I mean, people are coming to the light, though, because you're understanding, like, and then when you go and look at Babe's numbers, you realize he wasn't doing this for the entirety of his career.
You know, or at the same time.
Or at the same time. Like, and
or
so,
against anyone of color, anyone that was like marginally good at baseball.
Well, the list of filters just goes on and on.
Juice baseball.
Yeah. Did you know that there was a time during Babe Ruth's career where I believe it's ground rule doubles counted as home runs. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
Jared.
What?
Stop it.
That's true.
Stop it.
Are you saying that that's not true? Because it is.
No, I'm telling you to stop your slander of George Herman.
I mean, we're just poking holes in his entire leg. Like,
no,
he sucks.
We are not.
Dallas,
I was talking
Dallas,
about Shohei Ohtani.
Objectively,
you, once
sucks.
Again,
he
launch
sucks.
An assault on George Herman Ruth for absolutely no reason.
For every reason.
No, so
You need to pick a side, Dallas, because you want to be the Shohei guy,
still hammering,
but then you
guy.
Also want to be the Babe Ruth guy. Like, you got to pick a side. You can't be both.
I've chosen the side.
What side?
I said it to Shohei.
The fact
Ohtani
that I need to ask you that question means you have not chosen a side.
Yes, I have.
What side?
Yes, I have.
What side?
I said this. This is what I said.
What'd you say?
I mean, you go back and listen to the podcast that we did right after the All-Star game, in which I met Ohtani and spoke to him, and I said to Ipe, his translator, I said, tell him that I used to put my children to bed with stories of George Herman Ruth. They will now be put to bed with stories of Shohei.
And so you think Babe Ruth sucks?
That does not. That's not what.
Kind of what you just said. You said that to Ipe. You were like, "Hey, Babe Ruth."
I said,
"Used to be."
I
good,
said, "I transitioned."
And then you
we've
came
gone
along,
from like Brothers
how much
Grimm
of a fat
to
fucking piece of shit that guy.
No,
was.
No,
that's what you
no,
said.
No.
It's basically what you said.
Huge soft spot in my left titty for the Babe, for George. Always.
For what reason?
Always. For saving the game of baseball, and for
it wasn't in trouble.
What every it was in trouble, and for being no. what every baseball player ever wanted to be after he came along. Hmm. Like, yeah, I want to punch people out, and I just want to fucking hit massive bones.
Nah,
I want
to be fat and get drunk and fucking
yeah.
cheat on my wife.
Love life. Who said that? Whoa,
killer.
Whoa. See, this is where we start getting down.
That's what he did.
Start heading down a dark road
well,
for no reason whatsoever.
That. Allegedly, no, what, he did that.
That's no. No one's even having that conversation.
He's an adulterer, homicidal maniac who is a fat fuck and he wasn't good at baseball.
Those
he
are
only
your,
made
you know
two
what?
All-star teams. I mean.
I am forwarding this clip to the George Herman Ruth estate. I can't handle this any longer. Mm. I just can't sit through this.
Okay. Well, it is what it is, Dallas. You need to pick a side. And right now, it's really not clear what side you're on.
Well, I think I just made it abundantly clear. What I need to have cleared up here is for all the Yankee fans, and it's not just the Yankee fans, it's baseball fans in general. And I can respect the argument that you have for Aaron Judge and what he's doing right
future
now.
Future Red Sox.
I wasn't calling necessarily Shohei Ohtani the MVP this season, but I always defend the idea that if Shohei Ohtani has the type of season that I've laid out at the very beginning of his career, which was 270 at the plate with 25-80, and then he gives you 10 to 15 starts on the mound or 20 starts on the mound and say you win half of those, or you're not even him. He wins half of those. Great. The team wins half of those, more than those. Like where's the line of demarcation for incredible, for the most valuable asset? Like what type of offensive season? And this is the, like, I'm not battling back here. I want to have this conversation. What type of offensive season, if Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s year last year, like, didn't even sniff a vote, then what is the offensive production have to look like for it to overshadow a season like Ohtani had last year?
I mean, it's not even really just you'd say Aaron Judge hits 68 home runs this year, but Shohei has the exact same season as last year. Shohei would probably still win the MVP.
Why? Yeah. Why? My honest question, Joey, as a fan, is why wouldn't he? Like, we don't need to go into why he would. Tell me why he wouldn't.
Because the old writers that would well, Aaron Judge broke Maris's record, and he did it the right way. It wasn't McGuire or Sosa or Bonds. He did it the right way. So he's a real home run king. How can he not win the MVP in the same year that he's the rightful home run king?
It's simple. You have to remind these people who are having these conversations, they've always, throughout the entirety of their lifetime covering this game, they have never had the conversation about a player doing it both. They've never had to argue or defend the notion that one individual is a part of both of their arguments. So if you were in the Felix Hernandez camp and wanting to give him the MVP, if you were in the Justin Verlander camp and wanting to give him the MVP, or Felix the Cy when he had what I think 11 wins or whatever.
12 and 11 or whatever.
Yeah. Like, so if you understand that, then you understand how important those individual performances were. Like, that's how much you're valuing what Verlander did on the mound. Just on the mound is it was like far and away above what anybody else could have done offensively. Well, this dude's doing not Verlander stuff on the mound, but pretty respectable, I'd say. And he hit the most fucking homers in baseball last year.
What do you have, 46?
46, 49?
But yeah, I mean, like that's the thing is that Babe Ruth was not doing it at the same time. He wasn't.
I see what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize.
What the fuck did you think I meant?
I just go ahead. Continue.
Babe Ruth led the league in homers while pitching 1 year. You know how many homers he had that year?
How many hit? Did he hit?
11. He led the league.
Yeah. If you hit 11 homers on the Yankees today, you're getting fucking released. Anyways.
Nobody's hitting and pitching on the Yankees, though.
That's what I'm saying.
It's always going to be that, like the V. It's the same thing we always talk about, is define the V. Define the V. What does the V mean in MVP to you? Valuable. Is it just the overall best statistical performances, regardless of where their team finishes? Is that how you're defining value? Or are you factoring in, like, this guy's presence in the lineup and he makes other people better around him? And even when he's slumping, he's impacting the team because X, Y, Z, on top of the production, you know, is he helping his team lead the charge as the best team in baseball? Like, these are all things that you can say about Aaron Judge, right? And from there, the conversation ends, because we're only talking about what this guy brings to the table offensively. I mean, if you want to factor it in defensively, that's great, but are you ever factoring in a guy's defense and comparing that to what a MVP caliber performance on the mound looks like? Like, win your gold glove at shortstop. That's great. That was very necessary defense. I'm not knocking that at all. But if you've got a guy on the mound performing to the point where people are giving him MVP votes, I'd have to say his performance defensively might outweigh the guy playing shortstop.
Yeah. Where would you put Shohei in MVP voting right now?
Ooh, man. I mean, what's he? How many homers does he have?
I'm going to guess.
And, like, where's 14. He at on the damage scale?
15.
So, yeah, 15 homers. Like, I mean, what? Judge is fucking knocking on the door of 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's he hitting? 240 something?
260.
Oh, okay. 260.
So that's a little better. 487 slug.
What's that?
487 slug, 131 WRC plus.
Okay. And what's the OPS? 8-something?
822.
There you go. Yeah, see, so, I mean, as of right now, and what's he doing on the mound? Like, look at what he's doing on the mound.
Sub-3, 290. The whip is, call it 1 even.
1, yeah.
Strikeouts per 9, call it 12.
I mean, that's fucking dominant, man. That's dominant on the mound. And the dude's going to probably hit 30 homers. I mean, like, seriously, like, fuck, man. What do you, like, you just can't say one without the other. And when I get to the end of the whole season, I'm going to ask you to show me the receipts for Aaron Judge and what he's done on the mound for the Yankees. And that's where we can, and that's where justifiably we can get into the, and that's why I've always said that this conversation is great, because your definition, Joey, of valuable and my definition, all of our definitions are different, can be different. And we can walk away from it where you're not wrong for telling me that Aaron Judge is going to be the MVP. And I can walk away from this not wrong telling you that if one guy just gives me a portion of the production that Aaron Judge is giving us, but also gives us a Cy Young conversation type production on the mound, I find it really tough to overlook that also and not consider that guy for an MVP or put him in the conversation. So again, I understand both sides of this sword and how it cuts. I really need people to always remember and never ever overlook, and please do not punish Shohei Ohtani for what he did last year. And don't make that the gold standard. Like, oh, you know what, dude? Like, all right, we get it. Two-way stud. If you're going to be here and play in the league, like, what, are we just going to give you the fucking MVP every year because you do this? What did I tell you last year? Yeah. If he does this shit every year, yeah. Yes. Tell me again why he would not be worthy of that award every fucking year if he did what he did last year. Every year. If he did what he did last year for the next 7 years, tell me what you need to see from an individual like a Judge, like a Vlad, like a Stanton, like a Jose Ramirez. Insert your guy here. What do they got to do? Talk to me about that. Because for me, I've said it, like, you got to do some record-breaking shit.
It's so crazy. Would you think that if he went and if he did what he's doing this year, which is not as good as last year, but still really fucking good, do you think he would have won it last year?
So for everybody that was making an argument for Vlad, everybody that was going to bat for Vlad, and I've long, like I said it last year, like, I love that you're having those conversations. But at the end of it all, who voted for him?
Nobody, right?
Nobody. It was a unanimous MVP vote. It was nobody thought twice. So all the conversations on MLB Network, blah, 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 leading up to this and why you got to talk about Vlad and blah, everybody knew in their heart of hearts that there's no fucking conversation to be had about this. Like, miss me with all that.
I'm thinking he kind of set the bar at a certain point because it's so like new, like hitting and pitching. So if he doesn't do as good as last year, they might not give him MVP because you can't compare him to anyone else. It's like,
you
just got to be like, he's not the best hitter, but he also is one of the best pitchers. So it obviously is better than Vladdy, who's a little better of a hitter.
Yeah, like it takes Jared launching a social slander tirade against one of the game's greatest to ever play.
He's not
to draw your comparison.
What am I missing?
Jared still bleeds
here?
Curse. I don't know. What are you missing?
I'm looking on Fangraphs at the wins above replacement, and like Shohei's offensive WAR is 1.3, and then I'm trying to find him amongst the pitchers, and he's nowhere to be found.
He's probably not qualified.
Yeah,
he's qualified. He's got it.
How many innings does he have?
He has
68. His WAR for pitching is 1.9. WAR is confusing as fuck. I don't understand. Do they add them together and that's his WAR?
I mean, for him, I feel like you
two
should.
Two different WARs.
Yeah, he's got a pitching WAR and he's got a.
Well, that's the other argument, right? Like if you're dissecting this guy's value in two different ways, who else is getting that done to them? Who else is under that microscope? Well, nobody, because nobody else is doing what he's doing. So if he's affecting the game on such a level where he's creating more value than replacements on both sides of the ball, why would he not be awarded with both sides of the ball value?
Yeah. Foolish Baseball made a tweet yesterday, and he said that Shohei Ohtani in the last two games has one WAR in two games.
I mean, the dude had eight. Like, come on, the guy had eight RBIs and 2 3-run fucking jacks the night before last. And what did he do the day after doing that? He got on the mound and punched out 13 big league hitters in 8 shutout innings. And instantly people go to, it's the Royals. It's like, okay, fair, fine. You don't like who it was against. You feel like they're not a great competitor for him. They're big leaguers. I'll just tell you that. And you have to play these games. So damn him. Damn him for dominating. God damn him.
It feels bad if your Angels pitcher and gave up fucking 12 runs to them the day before.
Yeah, that hurts.
Well, just for like perspective here, like if you add Shohei Ohtani's pitcher war and his hitter war, it's still 11th. It would be 11th in Major League Baseball if you stack him up against the position players, like Machado, Devers, Judge, Jose Ramirez, Trout, Goldschmidt, Edmund, Bogarts, Yordan, Mookie, and then Shohei when you combine his war from offensive a position player and contributions. A pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what if you did that to his war last year? Where would he fall?
Let's see. That's a good question, Joey.
So he had 8.1 if you add them together.
I mean, that last year. If you add them together and you get 8.1, like that's a fucking standard Mike Trout season.
Yeah, that's number one.
Like by year, like how many times has Mike Trout had a wins above replacement that was better than 8.1? 10.1. 10.2, 8.3, 9.3, 8.5, 9.5, 8.3. What's that, 8? That's why it's such a fickle statistic, because you're telling me that Trout 8 times had a season better than what Shohei did last year? I don't know if I believe that.
Well, that's, again, the value, you know? And in baseball, like the game is telling us right now, it's telling you to your face by placing the value on guys in the bullpen, just how valuable starting pitching is. That's always been the case. When the shift in the game started to bullpens and relying heavily on the bullpen, that was your first indicator of just how important starting pitching was. Guys who could actually get through a lineup 3 times, 3.5, maybe even 4 times. Like, those guys are rare, but they're still pretty important if you can identify them. And if you've got a couple of them, just how important are they? And again, you've got that kind of dude going to hit 30 homers for you.
There's the, did you see the dude that had like the viral tweet? It was a tweet from last year. He had the tweet about like, every time I see a tweet about Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, it's always like, you know, Mike Trout goes 4 for 5 with 4 home runs and Shohei Ohtani performs an accomplishment that hasn't been done since 1920 and the Angels lose 8-3 to the Tigers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's essentially what happened. Fucking Shohei hits two three-run homers. Yes, one of them in the bottom of the ninth. And that, did that tie it?
Yeah.
So yeah. He single-handedly carried the Angels' dead carcass to the finish line, and it still was not enough to get the victory. It's crazy.
Yeah. It happens. Hang with Shohei. I feel like
it's going to be... We're going to look back on Shohei's career and just be like, what the fuck? He played with Mike Trout? Like, what are you talking about? And they sucked. Like, he's going to go somewhere else and just be like a legend somewhere else. And it's gonna, you're not even going to like remember him and Mike Trout.
I mean, like, it's going to be wild to think about. Like, that's a great point, Joey. Like, reflecting, like, seriously. Like, think about how we're talking about, think about how we've talked about Mike Trout since he showed up. And has been doing Mike Trout shit, right? Like, he's just been widely regarded. Like I said, the dude is already an active Hall of Famer. He's better than half the dead guys in there already, as it sits. right now today. Like, that's who Mike Trout has been. Been that dude for a minute. Now Ohtani shows up, and I've given you the spiel on why he showed up, where he showed up, to be next to that dude, Mike Trout, and show you what he's all about. And they're not going to have a fucking thing to show for it other than individual hardware. Like, yeah, we are fucking awesome. But, and I mean, baseball fans, for the arguments that they're putting forth for Aaron Judge, because his team's going to the postseason, his team looks like an absolute juggernaut right now. Oh, and he is smack dab in the middle of it. And these two dudes,
season ago.
Like, it's tough to think that these two dudes are doing what they're doing. And like, you got two guys doing shit like that, and they just, for whatever reason, can't put it all together around them.
I think that's more of an indictment on the sport than it is on the two players. Like, you can't just slap the two best players on a team and win a championship. That's not how baseball works.
That's I'm going to need you to rephrase that, because an indictment on the game sounds terrible. That is the beauty of the game, Jared. That is the beauty of this.
It's a reflection of the game. It shows how hard it is. It shows how hard it is to construct a championship roster that you can't take arguably the best player of all time and the best talent of all time and
win a championship
that way.
It's reflective of society.
To make baseball. The playoffs. Let's just start there. Make the fucking playoffs.
Like, you gotta play on a team with people you may or may not like, and you can be the best at whatever it is you're doing. But if not everybody around you is pulling their weight and you're not able to make it happen together, your individual performance doesn't mean dick. Just doesn't mean dick. Not to the end game.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't want it to be.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
Like, yes or no? What? Put a number on it. What percentage odds do you have on Shohei remaining with the Angels after this year? After this year. Isn't he up after this year?
No, next year.
No,
I believe.
Next year.
Next year? Okay. Yeah. All right. When he's eligible to become a free agent. Mm-hmm. The odds that he remains with the Angels.
These things are so tough to tell, because if we're honest, we don't know much about Shohei and his enjoyment of life in Los Angeles. Like, what's the quality of life? What's the quality of life there for him? Does he enjoy it? Is everything cool? Like, because if so, that's always a big conversation point, whether or not a guy wants to hang around. You know, think about what everybody has said about Mike Trout. Whether you believe it or not, the narrative is he got his money. There's not a ton of pressure in Anaheim, and he wants to win. He's been vocal, more vocal recently than ever, about like, yo, we need to get to the postseason here. Like, he's been doing that, but at the end of the day, he had the track record of the organization in front of him and made his decision. And Shohei Ohtani, just like any other star player, is going to do the same thing. Gather information, make the decision between quality of life, competition, what he's really after in this game. And that's when he'll make his decision. Based on what we read about this guy, for him to plan his future and plot the course the way he did at such a young age and seemingly waking up every day looking to check each and every one of those boxes off, I find it difficult for him to just kind of marinate in a place where he doesn't feel like there's ever going to be quite enough done to make that push. But I'd like to think that he's the dude that would force the hand of a group that could finally say, you know what, fuck it. All right, here we go. We're loading up. We're going to make this window that we have with him the one where we do. We're taking two home in the next 6-7 years. It's got to happen. I'd love for that to be the case.
Wouldn't that have happened by now? Like, wouldn't you have been able to identify that, like, I mean, and to that point, too.
That's why the conversation's been about the decisions they've made. The Rendon signing. Why aren't we signing other guys? Like, what the?
But they they're so stupid. They're like, all right, we have all this extra money. Let's dump $265 million on Anthony Rendon, dude. That's going to put us over the top. Like, no, no. It's not like they're cheaping out. They're not. They just don't know what the fuck to do with their excess financial freedom. It's crazy. Yeah,
it has been tough to, it's been, I mean, like I said, as somebody in the division, I'm not mad at it. Like, hey, if that's the route you want to go. But
yeah, there's like a 10% chance he stays.
Yeah, I don't have him. I don't have him staying.
I mean, the fucking White Sox, they've produced one prospect who's been good from the other than Mike Trout, who's like actually been, they have no pitchers.
I mean, Detmers, I know he just got optioned. Imagine fucking throwing a no-hitter and then getting sent down after. I think that there's obviously a lot of potential there. That's kind of just like some rookie growing pains with Detmers, but we'll see what happens to his career. But yeah, it's frustrating. I feel like a lot when that's when you know it's bad is when you have fans outside of your own fucking market. These people are fans of other teams and they're frustrated with you not getting to the playoffs. That's when you know it's a pretty big problem. Because I feel like there are a lot of baseball fans that
I'm in the division, Jared.
Yeah, there are baseball fans out there. They're like, can we please just have one run of Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani in the playoffs together? Well, that clock's ticking because Shohei to Denver is coming.
And when it comes,
that goes out the window, the run that these two could have together.
If you're in the Angels front office right now, I have to believe you're looking like you gotta straight up. The attendance is what it is every time this dude takes the mound. Every time. I mean, the place is a madhouse when Ohtani's on the bump. A madhouse. People are losing their fucking mind. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see. I wonder what the odds are in the DraftKings Sportsbook for Shohei Ohtani to stay with the Angels after his free agency. I don't know. We'll find out, though. It's time to step up to the plate with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. New customers can bet just $5 on any game and get $150 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn another small bet into a big payday this baseball season? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, total runs, extra innings, and more. And boom, you have a shot at an even bigger payout. Right now, if your Same Game Parlay does not hit, you can get a free bet back up to $10. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code Jared. New customers can make any $5 MLB bet and get $150 in free bets no matter what. That is promo code Jared, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'd love to be able to talk about my Cleveland Guardians.
your Cleveland Guardians, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They're on a roll. They are on a roll.
They're more than on a roll. This is who they are. Oh. They are this damn good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole thing about the Cleveland Guardians and people not wanting to put respect on their name. I mean, I think that has to resonate with them in the clubhouse a little bit. Sure, they got the ass a little bit. They've got an MVP candidate. They have a Cy Young candidate. And they've won
17 of their last 21 games. You can't fluke that. 17 of 21, and they now sit one game ahead of the Minnesota Twins. And I'm going to mention it again. The fucking run differential. The Minnesota Twins are a plus 23. Like, it would be different. I would feel much different if the Cleveland Guardians went on this run of 17 out of 21 and they passed the Minnesota Twins by a game and the Guardians had a run differential of plus 23 and the Twins were a plus 55. It's like, all right, yeah, maybe this isn't sustainable. But the Guardians, plus 37? The Twins, plus 23? I don't know.
Are you forgetting about the White Sox, dude? You just forgot about them?
Yeah, they're irrelevant to me.
They're irrelevant? They can't win the division?
No.
You're not even worried about the White. You're not worried about La Russa and the Rough Riders?
Nope.
Tim Anderson at shortstop.
La Russa's lassoers?
No. Yeah, man.
I'm not worried about the White Sox.
Wow. So you hear, Jared. Hold on. You know what? Jared.
Mm-hmm.
You have the fucking balls? Do you have the fucking balls, Jared? Mm-hmm. Right now, as we sit today,
mm-hmm.
June 23rd,
mm-hmm.
do you have the fucking balls to pronounce the Chicago White Sox season done? Over with. No shot. Dead in the water. Up river. Fucking 2023. Here we come. Is that what you just said? Kind of sounds like that's what you just said. They're not even a thought. Not even on your radar right now. If your sector were to be breached by the Chicago White Sox, you wouldn't know it. Your radar, boop. Boop. Not even picking them up. Boop. Is that what you're ready to say?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I am.
Wow. Yeah. White Sox, pack it up. Fucking see you later.
Yeah.
Bailhose, thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
Garabas,
put it this way.
Shut it down.
Put it this way, Dallas. I know that you like the White Sox. I know that you like Tony La Russa. We know that you love Tony La Russa.
Easy.
You are a Tony La Russa apologist, if there, I've that's ever just, seen one. You are. Not, you are. You always have been. You have been for years. We're close personal friends of Lucas Giolito. A lot of guys in that team that we like. However, if I just covered up the name of the team, the names of the players in the team, and I just said to you, hey, Dallas, it's almost July, and my favorite team has a losing record and a negative 41 run differential. You think we got a shot to win the division? You would say,
I would ask you, well, what's the roster look like right now? Are you healthy? Have you guys been performing? Are you healthy? Are you healthy?
I need a yes or no.
Are you healthy? Dallas, can you answer me that question? Like, if you just don't have certain guys in your lineup.
We have Eloy's coming back soon.
Okay, so you're not healthy?
Not. I mean, no team is at this stage of the game.
Well, no, but if you're telling me that you're getting ready to shut a team season off, you're unplugging a team, I need to know some things about
them. Well, I'm not canceling the White Sox season. I'm just.
Oh, you already did, buddy. No, you already did. You just rewind this thing. About 36 seconds and you shit all over the White Sox. You told them to pack shit up. You canceled their season. It's over.
I'm just saying. If I were to ask you a yes or no question,
no, I'm my not team, answering that.
It's almost July. My team has a losing record and a negative 40 something run differential. Do we have a chance to win the division? Do you think? I would say no.
No, I can't logically answer that with just a yes or just a no. You know that.
Context matters.
Absolutely.
Where is everyone else in the division? How big's the lead?
No, all that stuff matters. We've got a really good feel for that, right? What's the lead in the division? They're what?
Four and a half, something like that. But
okay, I think they're four and a half out.
There's two teams ahead of you.
So that's fine. You're 4.5 out of a wild card spot. You're 4.5 out of a division lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so let's talk about the roster from there. What do things look like? Right?
Tim Anderson.
He's coming back.
He's already back, baby.
He's back.
Eloy is he already started rehabbing. He's in he's rehabbing in AAA right now.
Yoan Moncada's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yasmani Grandal's hurt.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
What makes you think that all these guys can stay healthy to help you? It sounds like they're a bunch of
that's just the offensive side of things. The run differential, Jared, that you've latched onto. That's the teat of run differential that you choose to suckle on right now. You have to address the areola, the things that surround that. Okay. And that would be run prevention. Well, you got a few guys that are really good at preventing runs that are also not available to you. Aaron Bummer, down. The crotch rocket, Garrett Crochet, down.
Yeah.
Liam Hendricks, just pissed off that he wakes up in the morning. Down. Kyle Frick, down.
Sounds to me like you think they have no fucking chance. I at least gave him a shot.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Because after I just run through their IL report, I start to see a little twinkle in your eye, Jared. Like, you know what? Hey, maybe, who knows? Southsiders. It feels like, you know what? I feel good today. I'm having a good morning so far. I'll give you an opportunity to walk it back if you'd like to. If you'd like to say that, you know what, you can't count out the Southsiders strictly because they're just starting to get healthy again for the first time in a long time, and they've still got guys that they can add. I mean, you get four guys like that in the bullpen back, Jared. That's like four midseason acquisitions, and you've been able to keep yourself within four games of the division during that time.
They've hung in there.
Well, I mean, you told them to go home. You have locked the White Sox out of the 2021 season.
It's different. I'm stuck in my AL East ways. Like, if the White Sox were in the AL East, they would be like 18 games back. So, like, is a team like that worthy of my attention? No.
Jesus. If the Guardians were in there, they'd be 10-14 games back too.
If they were in a real division like the AL East, they would probably be somewhere like 18 games back. But
luckily, they're not. Nobody in this division is in a division like the AL East.
Yeah, AL East is one hell of a division. I'll say that right now. But if they can get healthy at the same time and get some of these pieces back, I will say you can't count out the White Sox. I'm not going to sit here like Dallas and be like, they're fucking toast.
Yeah.
I'll say that you can't count them out, but it doesn't look great at this juncture.
I wouldn't put 10 grand on them
like I did on the Guardians.
Yeah. Jake, quote card of Jared canceling the pale host season. Absolutely.
I never said that. That's buddy. What you said. You said it's a fucking wrap.
No.
On the Southsiders.
Can we give some love to a couple of these Guardians players, though? Because I feel like it should be done.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's guys in this lineup that I don't think get the needed attention, the deserved attention for what they bring to the table. Because I think the narrative always goes to how underappreciated, because he's not underrated, how underappreciated Jose Ramirez is. And that feels like it's a conversation that we're going to have every year. And I'm fine with having that conversation because it does feel that way. Because Jose Ramirez just does not get the love and appreciation he should get. But this conversation isn't for Jose Ramirez. It's for guys like Andrés Giménez, who are a very, very vital part of this offense. You put the ball in play at the rate that these dudes do, and you have run scoring opportunities abound. You need guys at the bottom of the lineup to move things along. You need guys at the top to set the table. I mean, fuck. Josh Naylor has had a great run. Who else am I trying to think about?
Fell off after, like, he burst onto the scene in the first couple weeks of the season, and then and then we just never heard from him again.
He's hit fucking 280.
He's hitting 367 with an 817 OPS this month.
There you go. What's his, I mean, overall, you said he fell off. He's still, I would venture to guess he's still probably hitting.
Yeah, that first week or whatever it was when everyone was like, oh my God, Stephen Kwan. And then he got real cold.
But I guarantee the dude still has more walks and punch outs, though. Guaranteed. Look it up. Make me right.
Stephen Kwan has 22 walks, 15 strikeouts.
Whoa.
Yeah. Same thing.
365 on base for the year.
For sure. And what's he hitting? Like I said, he's still hitting fucking 284. There you go. Look at Jose Ramirez's numbers. I guarantee that dude has more walks than punchouts.
A lot more. 34 sure. walks, 20 strikeouts.
There you go.
20 strikeouts?
20.
Jesus.
20.
Giancarlo Stanton had that by the fucking second week of the season.
Yeah. And look, and Franmil, MIA. Right? Hurt.
Well, he's coming back, right? This weekend?
Right. So, yeah. So you get this dude back and you plug him. Like, that's a straight up. That's a huge power threat to put in front of some guys who just don't swing and miss.
Mm.
They're going to be on base. They're going to be putting the ball in play. And now you got fucking Franmil, that mountain of a human to deal with. Sure, I get it. He's some swing and miss there. There's quite a bit of swing and miss there. Understood. But Franmil's
a guy
who could
benefit. I don't think it's egregious swing and miss, though.
Yeah.
It's not like Joey Gallo swing and miss.
No.
Nobody's like Joey Gallo swing and miss.
Right.
It's not on that end of the spectrum.
That's like saying, oh, he's not a bad guy. He's not like a Babe Ruth, kill his wife. You know, it's like, who are you comparing
Joseph?
It's true.
Well, I'm just saying what Jared told me.
Right.
If I'm wrong and he didn't do it, that's Jared's fault.
No, he did do it. He did do it.
Both of you got away with it. Both of you fucking knock it off.
He got away with it for years.
Got away with nothing. He did nothing. But the Cleveland Guardians. And we did give some love to Mick Winsey and those boys the other day, didn't we? Pretty sure we did. Yeah, Cleveland Guardians. That's who the White Sox are contending with.
Are you guys, Minnesota Twins. Are you guys ready to join me? Are you guys ready to be on the right side of history? Are you guys going to just stand there looking like a bunch of dildos?
What are you talking about?
I will stand here. I'm off the Guardians.
You don't have the Guardians winning this division.
I just don't have the balls to do it. I just don't have the balls. They're too small.
They're too small.
Yeah.
Wow. Joe.
Dallas, you don't believe
the Guardians season is over. I'm saying.
I mean, we're not even at the halfway
point.
The
first place Guardians are gone.
See, cancel the MLB.TV.
We're not even at the halfway point. The Twins missed Correa for a while. Come on.
I love the Guardians, what they're doing, but if I'm being are we sure the Guardians aren't just gonna like trade someone? Like they could just sell at the trade deadline, even if
that can't happen. They just signed up Joe Ram. Come on, that can't happen. They're not gonna do this. Not in this. Like maybe. Hopefully the Guardians are a franchise that this added layer to the postseason benefits. Where now, you know what, if they're starting to spend a little money, they've got a marquee player that they've locked up, they got a young pitching staff that's going to be around for a little bit, maybe they feel like, look, we understand how baseball works. We just, if we're in that window, if we're in that dance, if we get to that dance at the end of this whole thing, I feel like we got a good shot.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to spend eventually. I'm sure they'll do it one of these years. They have the youngest team in the league.
The Guardians?
Like I said,
That's what I saw today.
I like that.
They can produce a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Those young arms, they bring the fucking heat.
They bring the fucking heat.
And they got a lot to look forward to. But this year, I think they're not going to win the division, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, well, you're wrong.
Don't quote me on that. But they just did.
Don't quote me on this. We will quote Jared. Him telling the White Sox fans to just go ahead and watch football.
I will quote Jared and say that he told us that he actually doubled the bet to $20,000.
Yeah.
On the Guardians winning.
Yeah, that's all, like, Jared, straight up. Like, you just put your money where your mouth is, and that's when we'll believe. That's when we'll believe that you believe. Like, these are all just, this is all just window dressing. You know what I mean? This is just, this is all just pretty words, Jared. Just pretty words.
20 racks.
Show me. Show me. Make a move. Show me.
20 racks. Cleveland Guardians, division champs.
What else we got?
Is Aaron Judge's season taking away from Yordan Alvarez's season? Like, I feel like Yordan is having such a sick season, but no one's talking about it because Aaron Judge hits a home run every single night and he doesn't pitch.
I called Yordan Alvarez a month ago.
What did he pick up?
Possibly the best. He did not. Possibly the best pure hitter in baseball. And I believe that.
Would you vote for him for MVP?
Probably not right now.
Why not?
Well, I feel like there's other guys that are performing better. No.
Like who?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look. You're just throwing this shit out there right now.
I mean, Yordan Alvarez leads the league in OPS, OPS plus. He's hitting .315, a .406 on base, and he's slugging .658. He's got 21 homers, 8 doubles. He's driven in 51 already. He's driven in 51 runs in 61 games. I'd go as far as to say that he's better than Aaron Judge.
Yeah, now that I look at the numbers, hold on.
Yeah, stack him up. Stack him up. Tell you right now, actually, I can put him side by side right the fuck now.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have.
Yordan Alvarez is having a better season than Aaron
Judge. As we sit right now, Yordan Alvarez is
having a better season than Aaron Judge.
I would say, I don't know, easily, but yeah, he's my MVP.
Wow. What a quick turnaround that was.
Did you not look at Paul Blackburn's ERA?
You know what?
Because,
all right, hey. This is the side-by-side. Aaron Judge has played in 6 more games, just for context purposes. Yordan Alvarez hitting .315.
Which means he could have hit 6 more home runs.
Yeah. Yordan Alvarez hitting .315, Judge is hitting .302. Alvarez .406 on base, Judge .379. The slug, basically a wash. .658 for Alvarez, .663 for Judge. The OPS, .1064 for Alvarez, .1042 for Judge. The ISO, isolated power, .342 for Alvarez, .361 for Judge. Strikeout rate, Judge has that on lock. The walk rate, Alvarez.
At-bats per homer, Judge, it's literally an at-bat.
944 to 1043. Yeah, it's an AB. Look at that. People don't want to give him credit, but Yordan Alvarez, probably the American League MVP.
Yeah, I would argue that Yordan Alvarez is the American League MVP. As we sit right now.
Ooh.
They've actually say Rafael Devers, but
yeah, Devers too. How Judge hasn't been hit by a pitch this year?
Really?
Yeah. The hell's up with that?
Wow. Judge or Goldie.
It's too comfortable up there.
Awfully comfy.
Not my day.
Yeah, I'd like to take this time to apologize for just so readily dismissing Yordan Alvarez's MVP campaign.
Right.
I mean, I knew it was good, and I didn't think there was, I mean, I thought it would be comparable. Like, honestly, Devers, like, Rafi was a guy that I had in my head. Jose Ramirez was a guy that I had in my head. Mike Trout was a guy that has, I think, always been in your head. Manny was a guy that I was thinking about. But I mean, not really even close.
Mm. Mm. So you have Yordan winning the MVP.
If they were to hand the award out today?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I thought you were comparing, like, the offensive numbers here.
I am. I'm just saying, like, if the season ended
you can't forget about
Yordan Alvarez.
No, you got to forget about, you can't forget about the dude in Anaheim.
Oh yeah, he's not even close to these guys.
You got to remember that guy. He does things that these guys don't do though.
That's fine, but they're just better.
At one of the things, mm-hmm. they're having a better season right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, at one of the things, but I could almost guarantee you, Jared. I could comfortably guarantee you
mm-hmm.
that if we were to ask any one of these individuals to pick up half the slack that Ohtani has on his back,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that their offense would look the way it does. And I could almost guarantee you, Jared, I could comfortably guarantee you that their production on the mound wouldn't look anything like Ohtani's. So that's something else people don't ever really factor in is, wow, cool. Oh, he does them both, blah, blah, blah. Well, do you understand what that takes to do physically? Like, he's literally doing twice as much as other guys.
Do I know what it takes? I did it my whole fucking life.
But never mind. But never mind that. Yeah, we'll just completely easily dismiss. We'll sweep that right under the rug.
I'm just saying. You look at the wins above replacement, you can add his both together, and he's 11th in baseball. There's still 10 other dudes that have been more productive just from a position player standpoint than if you take his position player and pitcher performances and put them together.
And we all know that WAR is a flawed statistic.
And it's comp, dude. I don't think it works like that. Like, do we know how it works?
No, like, and again, like it's some weird algorithm,
and it's like you're comparing it to an average player. So therefore, you have to compare Ohtani to like an average pitcher.
No, but you're comparing. You're also. It matters like who the players on your specific team are. And how you're playing
WAR?
Comparatively speaking.
That goes into WAR?
Yes. The replacement players on your team?
Really?
I believe so.
I don't think that's
how it works.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Jay Hay would correct you every single time that you said that.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure that he corrected you, yes.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
That seems really unfair if that is true. Like, yeah, that sounds ridiculous. True.
No, I'm telling you right now.
It's not. I know that you've said this like 20 times, but it's never been correct.
You know what? I'm firing. We'll fucking figure that out.
Call Jay Hay right now. And be like, hey, is this true? And he'll be like, no.
Yeah, I can't just call him for that.
Yes, you can.
Well, I mean, I don't want to just call him for that. I'm sure he's got other shit to do. I will text him right now.
All right, text him. And he'll be like, nope. He's like, I know that you've thought this for a long time. But it's actually not correct. And I'm sure he's going to be ecstatic that you're asking him so that he can finally put an end to this once and for all.
Shred me.
It's been half a decade of you thinking that this was a thing. Well, Dallas is texting Jay Hay.
Tell me about Freshly.
Yeah, let's talk a little Freshly here. Because it only takes 3 minutes to put one of these bad boys from... the fridge to your stomach. It's food that's fast. It doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work. Their meals are designed by nutritionists, cooked by chefs, then delivered fresh. Other meal deliveries need to be prepped and cooked, but Freshly, it's ready to eat in 3 minutes. No one ever wants to spend an hour cooking dinner after a rough day at work or an infuriating commute. At the end of a long day, takeout doesn't have to be your only option for an easy dinner. Whether it's for you or your whole family, Freshly gives you convenience, flavor, and nutrition. Get delicious, chef-made, nutrient-packed meals delivered straight to your door. No cooking required. Fresh and never frozen, ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. Use the Freshly website or app to find meals that fit your lifestyle with plans that work for your dietary needs, preferences, taste, and family size. Choose from over 50 nutritionist-designed entrees like their classic steak peppercorn, multi-serve sides, and their masterful mac and cheese, or their new line of plant-based meals. Skip the grocery shopping and dirty dishes. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every single week. New meals are added weekly, so you're never stuck eating the same thing over and over. Stop stressing about dinner. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $125 off your first 5 orders when you go to freshly.com/Jared. That is $125 off at freshly.com/Jared.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal.
Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The answer?
He has not gotten back to me.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.